This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Acting while Black and queer. That's the subject of a new solo show by Rotimi Agbabiaka. It's called Typecast. The artist made his way around San Francisco's underground experimental performance scene, and he's done commercial industry work, all while Black and queer. His new musical theater show takes us with him through the hilarious highs, the offensive lows, and in and out of the pigeonholes. He talked to KALW's Jen Chien about spinning his tribulations into performance gold.
There are a lot of infuriating experiences and anecdotes in your show. Mm-hmm. It's people being really insensitive about race and culture and mm-hmm. sexuality. I'm wondering if when those kinds of things happened to you in your life, in your career, did you comfort yourself with thinking, I'm going to put this one in my show?
That's a great question. Not at first. But I think eventually I came to do that. I've written one other solo play before, and it happened in grad school, and I was in Bulgaria studying abroad, and I was in this small town, and I don't think that residents of that town had seen many people of color or Black people in that town. And so I was sort of this local celebrity, which was...
And did you like that?
It was fun at first, and then it became really strange.
Stressful?
It felt really strange. Yeah, stressful, and also... it really highlighted how exoticized and otherized I was being. It made me think about ways that existed in other forms in America. And so I created this piece based on that and put a lot of my life into it.
And so where did the idea for this one come from? Was it you didn't quite work out all of that stuff in that show? And this is new stuff. But like
it's
once you got out into the world.
It's some new stuff, yeah. And the idea for it came from, I had written a series of articles for theaterbayarea.org. And the series was called Acting While Black. In this series, I interviewed some local Bay Area actors who are Black about their experiences. And my partner, Shane, suggested, oh, why don't you do a piece based on these
articles?
On your
interviews. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so I combined those stories with my stories and just began to explore the issue of diversity in theater, which is such a pertinent and such a relevant and such a still unsolved or issue of diversity and inclusion and really creating a theater culture that welcomes people who have not historically been welcomed in American theater, at least mainstream American theater.
In the show, you talk about growing up in Lagos in Nigeria.
Yes.
That's where you spent your early years.
Yeah.
And you talk about putting on your mom's wedding dress.
Yes.
And realizing that you want to be more than what you're allowed to be
mm-hmm.
in the culture and the society that
yeah.
you live in. So to me, that was sort of like the first obstacle in your life as an actor.
Yeah.
How did you get through that? And then do you feel like that helped set you up for challenges that lay ahead that you're talking about now on the show?
Yeah, oh, definitely. How did I get? Well, that's a great question. I think I'm still struggling with that. But I think, putting on that wedding dress, I think represents so many things to me. It represents a growing awareness of my queer identity, of my queerness. It represents that discovery of the pleasure of play acting, of playing pretend, of acting, a part of what drew me or what, you know, to this profession. And I think it's been a long journey for me in accepting who I am and feeling the pride and the comfort to share that with the world.
So you have a section of the piece that you can perform for us
yeah,
today in studio, yeah? Can you set this up a little
for us?
This is this part is inspired by a real life story.
It is, yeah. As most of the show is, it's inspired by a real life story.
Well, a real life news story.
Yeah, this is a real life news story. It's based on a story about a production that happened in England. It was directed by Sir Trevor Nunn, who's a very renowned director, and it was a production of called The War of Roses, and it's a collection of four of Shakespeare's history plays performed together in rep. There's a 22-person cast, and in that cast there wasn't a single actor of color. He'd been interviewed about why he had made that choice, Sir Trevor Nunn, mentioned wanting to, adhere to the historical accuracy of the script. And in this section of the play, I do a mock sort of news story exploring that that defense and the contradictions in that defense. And then I cap the news story by performing a punk rock song that I wrote called That's Some Bull Blank. and so I think there's an opportunity in all these plays to recast the world or to show a wider, you know, array of humanity. And I think it's a lazy argument that a lot of directors and companies use to justify a practice that is just really reinforcing white supremacist notions or views of what history was or who contributed to history or who, you know, is part of history, whether it's Western history or, you know, global history, of which people of color have contributed hugely to, you know, in their own, you know, histories, in their own cultures, in their own countries. A gang of minority actors has risen to condemn Sir Trevor's use of an all-white cast in his latest production, The War of Roses, a distillation of four of Shakespeare's history plays. The gang claims that the failure to include a single person of color in the 22-person cast is yet another instance in which minority actors are shut out of the theater. Sir Trevor defends his choice by stating that the historical verisimilitude of these plays, which feature fictionalized plots about historical figures who may or may not have been witches and devilish hunchbacks, would be ruined by the presence of non-white actors. When asked why the character of Edward, King of England, is played by a Norwegian actor, or why the French characters Margaret of Anjou and Joan of Arc are played by English actresses, Sir Trevor Nunn remained mum. As I turned to leave, thinking the interview was over, I heard these two words whispered like a final defensive parry. Historical verisimilitude. I'm Sammy Pepys, and this story has been based on events that are 100% true and happened in the summer of 2015.